Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Hello everyone, welcome to another video from Fantasy Football Scout. My name is Az, and today I am joined by Obey, FPL underscore Milanista on Twitter. How are you, Obey?
I'm good, thanks. And you?
I'm very good, I'm very good. And for anyone who isn't too aware of who Obey is, we're going to have a bit of a chat about his rank history, which is very impressive. He's in the top 50 of the Hall of Fame. He's a new Fantasy Football Scout pro pundit, doing articles for us. And I mean, you're a bit of a veteran, aren't you, Obey? Because you have played this game for a long time.
Yeah, you could say so. Yeah, I think this is going to be my 17th season. So yeah, it does sound too much, but yeah, it feels like yesterday.
Yeah, you were there right at the start. What brought you into FPL and just kept you kind of going all these years?
To be honest, I don't know. Like, that's a question I get asked a lot, and I don't really remember my first season or like the first time I knew about FPL. I think I was like at school and just looking around for anything related to football, and I got into FPL. So I think the first few seasons were just like, yeah, you're just trying to see what this thing is about.
Yeah,
I used to watch a lot of football, so it was interesting. And with time, it turned out to be a very famous game now.
It does.
With almost a million people.
Yeah, let's get your ranks up. I mean, your first season was in 2006, 2007. So was that was the first year, right, of when it came out? I mean,
I think I've seen people who have like histories from 2002. So I think, yeah, that's like 4 years
wow.
later.
Wow. Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't even know that. Cause I mean, I started 07, 08, so a little bit later than you, but I remember it being like quite, I mean, there wasn't that many people that played it when I first started. I mean, a couple of 100,000, something like that, probably in 06 or so. I mean, how many people playing it in 2002? Yeah. Probably about 10.
I have no idea. Yeah. Even 2006 and 7, I don't really remember how many people were playing it. But yeah, I think the numbers have doubled and tripled recently. So yeah.
Yeah. I mean, let's take a look at your ranks. So, I mean, you know, obviously your first two seasons, well, okay, 165,000 your first season, 201,000 in your second season. So, I mean, considering there probably wasn't that many people playing, they probably weren't the highest kind of finishes.
But I don't think it was from the very people in behind. So I think, yeah, maybe there was like a million. Mm. I don't know. Yeah,
okay,
so I have no idea.
Probably about a million. Yeah. Someone will know in the chat. Let us know how many people were playing in 07, 08. And then a good finish in 2008, 09, 18,000, and then back outside the top 100,000. But then from 2010 to 2011, I mean, you went on a crazy run. You had 27,000 finish, and then a 5K, and then an 8K, and then a 14,000, and then a 1,783. So an incredibly consistent, like, 4 or 5 years. 85,000. And then your worst rank of your entire career in 16-17, 281,000. And then 54,000, 170,000, and then three really strong finishes in your last 3 years. 16,000, 473, your kind of top 1K finish in 2020-21, and then 1,500 last season. So you haven't had like a lot of like kind of, you know, top 1K finishes and stuff, but your consistency to finish kind of in and around the, you know, 50K mark, and then, you know, in the top 10K is so high. What's your secret? How are you this consistent?
Well, yeah, but if you look at it, like, yeah, it has changed. Yeah, there are some discrepancies in the ranks. So I think I don't remember the years, but you said that there were like 4 years that were consistent in a way. I think that's the time I started taking this game like a little bit more seriously and like doing some research on players and teams, etc. But to be honest, in 2019, 20, and like the last three seasons, this is the time that it turned out to be from just a game to something that's like more like a passion, more like spending most of your time thinking of FPL, what will you be doing, etc. So I've changed a few things in my play style, I think, in the last three seasons, if that's something that gladly paid off. When you say that, like, now we are like 8 or 9 million people and you're finishing in the top, let's say 2000 for the last 2 years. Yeah, I've always said that the best thing that I once tried to do and I've never backed away is taking no points on captaincy. This was horrible. Like in normal years when I used to play, I used to get into a good rank. I remember in 2018, I reached, I think, the top 1,000, and like I was really aiming for like a high finish. And then I punted that year on Aguero captain when Pep decided not to play him, and he just showed up when they were like 3-0 up, and he took Sterling's place, so he even played on the wing that day. So it was horrible. For one pointer, it really destroyed the rank. I went like, I think, straight to 40 or 50,000 because all the other captains did really well at that time. So this is, these are the things that I really started to change. From that moment, I learned that I will never punt on any captain and just go with template. Like, captaincy should be just go for the best players for the round and just try to make your game from other players.
I mean, that hurts. Hurts my heart to hear that is the secret. Just always pick the template and the most owned player. I mean, for a captain, I mean, it makes sense, right? The captaincy is such a difficult thing to get right.
It really does like make or break your week and your season, because when you do something wrong, you start trying to be so different in the following round and you just fall behind. And this is, honestly, this happened even last year with me, but like, in a lesser extent. I spent most of last season in the top 100, let's say, for a long time. And remember in the double game week 36, I had no Salah and I had no De Bruyne. And I was really, I've been preparing for like 3 weeks to get De Bruyne for that week and captain him. The last minute, I changed my mind and I went Salah and everything went so bad. So, top like I was like 100, 200. I don't really remember exact rank at that time, and just fall even out of the top 1K.
Same as me.
So these things, really, they do matter. And it's in the end, it's like a psychological game. So if it gets into your mind that you're doing some mistakes or like a 50-50 decision goes extremely in against you, you'll just need time to get out of the whole thing.
What about point hits? Because we see a lot of kind of the top managers sort of being very kind of picky about when they choose to take hits. Are you someone who uses hits a lot, or do you try and refrain from using them where you can?
I can say I'm an average person in terms of hits. Yeah, like I don't really do hits every other week, but at the same time, I don't really stay away from hits. So sometimes when the hit is needed, I'll just take it. And I've taken a couple of like minus eights last season, I remember, even, and they paid off sometimes if it's like for 3-4 weeks. And we've seen like last season was really different than any other season, with all the postponements, with all the things, with COVID around, and with the number of double game weeks that we had. So hits are okay. Like not too excessive, but sometimes you do need hits.
A hit in moderation is okay.
Yeah, exactly.
Excellent. It's going to show the Hall of Fame. So this is another tool on Fantasy Football Scout. This was the kind of original tool in which you could compare yourself to other managers and see where you are. I mean, to me, it's still the kind of, there's lots of different ones that are kind of emerging now, but this is always the one that I use to kind of compare myself to. You've got to compare myself to all the other scout people, Ted and Gianni and all this lot. So you can see Fabio Borge sitting at the top. Obviously, I mean, he is indisputably the greatest FPL manager of all time. Just incredible. I mean, talk about consistency. I mean, you know, his last five seasons, his lowest finish is 1,965. I mean, it's just absolutely ludicrous. 222nd last year. And then you've got Finsley, John Canning, Bristol and Matt Corbridge making up the top five. But we can find you pretty easily on Aero Bay. All you got to do is go down to number 50. You just sneak on to the first page. You must be delighted with that. You know, top 50 of all FPL managers.
I am, I've made a good progress this season. But I still feel bad because I was in the, like, I was 10th at one point in the live career Hall of Fame. I was 10th when I was, as I told you.
Oh, you're slipping.
Yeah, so the last 2 weeks, the De Bruyne decision was just threw me 40 places behind.
Oh, that is absolutely brutal. So you're saying if you'd finish in the top kind of few hundred, you'd have been in around the top. Oh, that makes it even harder to stomach when it's something like that.
Yeah. But at least I'm still appearing on the first page. Yeah,
absolutely.
Like, right away.
Yep. Freddie wondering, I am not in the top 50. I'm not even on the live Hall of Fame. I've got to be there somewhere. I think I'm like 200th or 250th or something like that, which isn't too bad. I'll kind of take that.
You just need one good season and you'll
yes, jump. Yes, I need to fly up. I'm behind Mark. He's always the one that I'm looking to to catch. Let's take a look at your team. Then I've got your team on the screen. It's Melier in goal. It's a back four of James, Trent, Cancelo and Robertson. Then it's Neto, Salah with the captaincy, Martinelli, Jack Grealish, who is kind of the surprise name on here, Gabriel Jesus and Kane, and then a four-million goalkeeper, Neco Williams, Andreas Pereira and Archer. Pretty template, Obey. Is that kind of your style game week one? Do you tend to kind of go with the template picks, or are you just going for the ones that you think are going to score the most points?
No, to be honest, not. Just going with the ones that I think will score the most points. But I don't really agree with you. Like, some players are real differentials. I just said Grealish is like 3% owned. Melia is 3%, I think, as well. Even Robertson. Robertson is one of the players that I'm really shocked to see him in only 10% of teams. I mean, he's been like better than Trent for in the second part of last season. So I'm really surprised to see this kind of ownership for those players who really can make a difference. As for other players, I think you need to go, as I said, like, you need the template picks, especially in the captaincy. So Salah is going nowhere, definitely. Kane versus Haaland, people are going for Haaland more, so that's also something against the template. But I'm not sure. It's like, that's a 50-50 decision, to be honest. I'll wait and see the Community Shield game and decide maybe more. I really want Haaland for the Bournemouth game in game week two, so I don't know if I start with Kane and make the switch maybe, or just start with Haaland. If I had no issue with his fitness and like Pep mentioning that, I think I would have started with Haaland. Now trying to cover that with Grealish and Cancelo in a way, but yeah. Haaland will be heavily captained in game week two, so you don't really want to go there without.
I know. I should apologize. I mean, when I say template, it's I did a review of the Twitter template and Scout template, and you've got 7 of 11 of those template picks. So that's James, Trent, Cancelo, Neto, Salah, Jesus, and Kane, who people are making that switch from Haaland to Kane, given Pep's comments. Obviously, Haaland's still much higher owned, you know, in that, and no Diaz as well, who features in just about every team. And it, as you say, Robertson kind of is that kind of differential. I mean, the Haaland to Kane thing, I think, is really interesting because I talked to a few people on these FPL drafts a bit earlier on in pre-season, and a few people were thinking of doing it then. And to me, it just screamed of trying to be too clever. You know, you're backing a transfer in game week two. Haaland's got Bournemouth. You're going to want him in for that. It's, you know, it, those kind of transfers never really seem to kind of work out. But I am massively leaning towards that kind of idea now, starting with a Spurs player, either Kane or Son, and then looking to make that move. And you've got Grealish in place as well for City cover. I'm guessing you were impressed with what you saw in his last game.
Yeah, to be honest, yeah, he was phenomenal in the last game. I don't think Grealish is locked in my team. I've had like a couple of drafts that had no Grealish, but again, he's one of the players that I want to monitor in the next like important game in the Community Shield and see how he performs. it's a World Cup year, so I think it's like his chance to just prove again that he's one of the best players, and like to see the Grealish of the Aston Villa days and these kind of things. So I like him as a player, and he's been, as I said, really good in the last friendly. He linked up really well with Haaland as well, and they seem to gel together. No Raheem now as well on the left, so less competition, we could say. Mm. I don't know.
It's interesting, isn't it? Because we always say, let's not take too much stock in pre-season friendlies, but City have been a team that we have massively taken a notice of. I mean, Haaland, you know, Pep's comments about Haaland and Grealish playing in that game. Foden hasn't been playing in pre-season. The transfers they've made, and Mahrez now looking for that right wing spot. There's some very interesting kind of options in there. Grealish is an interesting price point, though. I mean, he's 7 million. I mean, you could go down to someone like Rashford. You've already got Martinelli, but you might find it difficult to go up, right? I mean, the 8 million midfielders, that is why a lot of people are picking the Diaz in that area. You've gone for Robertson instead. Does the 8 million bracket kind of worry you at all, not being able to move for that?
I think that's, if you ask me, the major worry in my team and my current setup is that I have no 8 million midfielder. But I've seen a lot of people going for the Diaz thing, but when you get Diaz, okay, you have the 8 million spot, but then I don't think you're going to switch him anytime soon. So that's, in a way, you're just blocking also the 8 million spot. And for me, I really genuinely think that Robertson is a better pick in my eyes. Yeah, I've always liked Robertson. As I said, he had an amazing second part of the season. Even in cagey games, I tend to see Robertson getting some bonus. So he's a good player and like overall player. So he gets into interesting positions. We've seen what defenders can do as well. And he's like a longer term pick. So if we decided to just postpone the wild card for like a few more weeks, I think Robertson is safer to, let's say, for like game week 8 or 9 or whatever. So yeah, but I've been looking at different ways of getting an 8 million midfielder, to be honest, but really difficult. Yeah, I think Reece James maybe is the one who makes way if I decided to just take away money from the defense and put in the midfield.
So again, is that because of Chelsea's preseason?
Yeah, Chelsea's preseason, losing Rodiger as well. There are talks also of switching like to a back four. Sometimes Reece also plays in like center defense. So there are a lot of concerns with Chelsea right now. And I feel more confident with Cancelo, Trent and Robertson than I do with James. Mm. But again, his style of play, we've seen him how he, like, when he's on his day, he can easily score like an 18-pointer. And with his ownership, that's a killer, to be honest. So sometimes you need to play safe in certain like areas. And I don't really think that... I've seen people who tried to cover James with Mendy. I don't really see that as a good cover, to be honest. Because we always want James for the attacking output, not for his for the clean sheet. So that's not something I'm planning to do. Let's see. Yeah, but the Grealish to Rashford option is something I've been also thinking of, especially that it gets me a 0.5 that I can upgrade the keeper. I'm not really convinced of the 4.5 keepers this season. I've chosen Melier simply because I like his first like two fixtures more than the others. But I don't really like the start of Brighton or Brentford's fixtures. Now Raya has also maybe some competition with Strakosha joining. He's a good keeper, to be honest, like that. I'm a Milanista, so I watch a lot of Serie A. So he was really good at times with Lazio. So I'm really a bit concerned in that. Although I still think Raya will start the season, but any bad performance and we could see him just losing his spot. Sanchez, on the other hand, again, you're a Brighton fan, so you should tell us how it goes. But yeah, I think your first two, three fixtures are so tricky. So I don't really see clean sheets there. If I remember correctly, you have United and then Newcastle and West Ham away. Yeah, right. So yeah, Newcastle are much improved, I think. So they could score in that game. So that's why I'm saying like Melier, although I don't really trust the Leeds defense, but he could get something against Wolves, Southampton, the first two games. You never know. And they do have like till game week 8. I think they have a really good fixtures. But if I get the 0.5, I'm genuinely thinking of switching to maybe Ramsdale.
Mm.
Yeah. Or Jose Sa. To be honest, Jose Sa, I had him last season and he did me really well in the like first half of the season. He was always with an effective ownership of like 3-4%. And he was scoring sevens and eights and these kind of scores. Even when he used to concede, he used to make a lot of saves and get me like 5-6 pointers. And they really did me well that time. So I have good memories with Sa, but I don't know, Wolves haven't been too convincing at the end of last season. So maybe Ramsdale is the one who I'll take if I could stretch that 0.5 more.
Yeah, it's a trick. I mean, are you like me? You don't really. I don't like paying 5 million for a goalkeeper. You know, some people paying 5.5 for Edison, for example.
Yeah.
I do agree though. It's really tricky. I mean, you think we're probably going to be looking at, you know, 6 games before we use our first wild card, given that the World Cup gives us unlimited transfers. So you're trying to really find a team that has 3 or 4 really good standout fixtures. And to me, you have to go up to 5 million for that. I mean, Brighton, like you say, we've got United, West Ham, they're tricky. Newcastle at home, okay. But we've got Leeds and Fulham in 4 and 5, which isn't too bad. But I mean, you look at Arsenal, I mean, Palace, Leicester, Bournemouth, Fulham, Villa. That's a fantastic five games from a defensive point of view, really. And Wolves, I mean, Leeds, Fulham, Newcastle, Bournemouth, Spurs. I mean, I like Leeds, Fulham, Bournemouth. I mean, that's, you know, 2 promoted sides and Leeds. And Newcastle home isn't too bad. So, again, I'm also thinking how I can find that extra 0.5. I've got Sanchez at the moment. And I think Newcastle at home is too bad. Newcastle are obviously much better at St James's Park normally than they are away. We do quite well against Newcastle as well. But they're a different side now. They've made lots of new signings, and we're about to lose Cucurella, I think. So, yeah, I think we'll be a little bit weakened by that.
Yeah, that's an issue as well, I think, yeah.
Yeah.
Something I liked about Ramsdale also last season, he used to get a lot of bonus points. I remember he was like a pain for me when I barely owned him. I think I owned him for like 2 or 3 game weeks only, and all the time that he's like one of the most like threats when we check the live FPL rank, and he's always getting the bonus. With any clean sheet, he gets a bonus. I don't know why. He once even did like a save or two and he got 2 bonuses. So that was weird.
Yeah, he's good distribution, right? That's basically all you need as a goalkeeper. That's why Nick Pope was so good for Burnley. Just keep kicking the ball short or long
exactly.
And just keep finding someone and rack it up, because everyone else will keep losing the ball. That's all we need. Let's talk about Martinelli then. You've gone for 2 Arsenal already. So obviously if you added Ramsdale, that'd be 3 Arsenal, trying to tap into those fixtures. Mm-hmm. Worried about Martinelli at all? He's kind of becoming less popular. He was in almost every team I saw at the start, but now with Rashford coming in, a lot of people are making that move kind of over to him. But you're still kind of set on him.
Yeah. He wasn't in my earlier drafts, to be honest. I've had bad experience with Martinelli last year. I owned him in the wrong times. Whenever I owned him, he was sitting on the bench. Whenever I sell him, he used to play and score. So that's not the best experience. Now, that's why I when I did my first few drafts, I had no Martinelli in, and I had no intention to get him in. But I've seen some of their friendlies now. He's doing well. Smith Rowe still like had very limited playing time in the friendlies. So I think it's his place to lose now. So, as we said, it's just a few weeks until we do our first wild card. And at 6 million, I think it's like a very minimal risk, especially that we know that he will start. Like, I mean, he's most likely starting the first 2.
Yeah.
The issue is that game week 3 and 4 are the good games for Arsenal. So we don't want him to have a bad game in like the first or second game, and then he sits on the bench for the good games. I've seen people doing starting with Rashford and planning to switch to Martinelli in Game Week 3, which is a good idea, I think. Mm-hmm. And I had it in mind for some time. But again, I don't have enough to get the 8 million midfielder that I'm trying to do. So if I had to pick one now, I think if I had the 0.5, I think I would have started with Rashford, especially that I have also Jesus up front. So, but for now, I'm fine to double up on their players and even triple up. As I've said, they've been so promising in the friendlies, and they have like the best fixtures out of all the teams.
It's interesting, isn't it? I mean, you talk about kind of needing that or trying to get that 0.5, and it's it's when you start looking at your team and you look and you start looking to see how you can find it. I mean, Grealish down to Rashford is the kind of obvious one. I mean, I had Robertson in my side and I thought maybe I could do Robertson down to Van Dijk and get that 0.5. And will that cover it? And then you think, well, should I just go Robertson down to Diaz? He's a million less. You know, and then you start kind of you end up making major surgery across your team because you start doing it. And then you look at it and you go, well, now I haven't got Robertson. I really wanted him. He was one of the first picks I had.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, I think Robertson, yeah. And the problem is that if you downgrade Robertson, I think you'll need to go for Luis Diaz, the midfielder. So then that's another issue that will happen with your team. So, but again, I think my source of, as I said, it's going to be Reece James. If I was going to downgrade any player to get an 8 million midfielder, most probably it's going to be Reece James for now. Or as I said, just lose Grealish, get Rashford and get the 0.5 for the keeper and just stay with that.
Yeah, it's four changes since your first draft over on Fantasy Football Scout. And everyone, head over to the site and check out Obey's articles over there, which you'll be doing all of this season. So you have been tinkering. Melier's come in for Raya. Chilwell's gone out. And now you're talking about selling James as well. You had Rashford. Now Rashford's gone in Martinelli. Now you're talking about getting Rashford back in, and Haaland's left for Kane. So you're definitely tinkering. You're definitely not set with quite a few of these players.
Yeah, but yeah, most of them, yeah, like Rashford and Haaland are very close to return. I mean, like they're not totally gone. I think Chilwell for now is someone who's I'm not really keen to keep. If I was going to a back five again, I think I'll add Diaz from City and do the. I'd rather trust the City defense more than the Chelsea for the start, especially with the games as well. Like the Chelsea's fixtures are a little bit more tricky. Mm. So yeah, so Chilwell is maybe the only one. And Raya maybe. Yeah, those two, I think I'm not returning to them as most probably. But Haaland and Rashford could very well be in my game week one team.
I love it. It's classic FPL. I mean, you start with two Chelsea defenders. You think they're going to be absolutely amazing value. You see them a bit in pre-season. You think, oh, not too keen on this. Chilwell leaves. And now you're thinking of selling James as well. They're having none of them. just how it is, isn't it? You can't help it. It's going to be really tough. I mean, they need to get their act together, really. Tuchel's not happy. Asking for more signings. Those kind of noises have to be a bit of a warning for us. And 41% ownership for James? Really high.
So high.
Yep. Yeah. Yeah.
And the issue is like price drops. If they still perform the same way they are doing in the friendlies, we're going to see a lot of people selling James from the first week. So, yeah, we need to absorb those price drops early on. Unless he decides to change all the everything. Yeah, we just have to wait and see.
We need to know how they're going to line up. If they switch to a back four, if Reece James plays at centre back, he's on my wall. He's such a great player. But I do have my doubts a little bit about him. And you've taken Chilwell out, and I'm leaning towards starting with Chilwell over James just because of that kind of a bit of uncertainty around where he's going to play. We'll see. It's gonna be interesting. We'll call it there. Thank you so much for joining me. Thank you everyone for watching. If you've enjoyed this video, make sure you subscribe to the channel. Make sure you give this video a like as well. As always, if you want to drop your Fantasy Football Scout membership username, if you're a free member, into the chat, and we'll be giving away one free membership for every video of pre-season. You've got to be a free member to claim that. If you're already a paid member and you want to give that to a friend, drop their username in the chat and I'll pick one random lucky person to get a Fantasy Football Scout membership. And as I said, if you like listening to Obey, check out his articles over on site. Something to be a member, get access to all our tools. Got loads of them over there. There's a link in the description below. Obey, thank you so much. I will speak to you very soon.
Yeah, sure. Thank you.